So, we had gotten down to the Chaim Vayis at the Mishnah, because we were going a bit faster in order to complete our Erev Pesach Gemara faster. So let us begin now at the Mishnah of the Hima HaMekashe again. Chaim Vayis on Rav.
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Behima HaMekashe Leleit, Vahotzi Ubarat Yadu Vechatcha, Vecharkach Shakat Atimol. So here we have yet another Mishnah that discusses the dinim of a behemoth that's having difficulty in delivery. And here we cut the hand that was extended out of the uterus, and then we shut the mother. So then there's no problem of contact with any tumor. And the butter is tahar, because at the time that we cut off the limb, the animal is essentially still alive. In fact, it would be kosher to eat if it weren't alive. It certainly wouldn't be shy if yet to be matame. So what's matame? Only the Aver Menachai. Okay, so when the animal now becomes food, it's not attached to the Aver Menachai. Therefore, the basar is tahor. But suppose you shech the mother and you then cut the limb that was extended. Now here you have a problem. Because at that point, the meat is in touch with the limb that's extending outwards, and that limb has the din of tumas nevela, because Eber Menachai is metame, like a nevela. And therefore, Tainis Rebbe Meir, habasar maga nevela. This basar has a din as if it touched the nevela. Now the question is, where did it touch the nevela? The only place it touched the nevela is where it's connected to it. So we know that that's Beit HaSarim. So the horror to my Beit HaSarim shouldn't be Mekabel Tumah here. Because there is no Maga. That's the problem the Gemara is going to discuss. The Chachamim Omrim, Maga Terefa Shchuta. Actually, indeed, we don't argue about the fact that it's Mechuber. Mechuber it is. But what it's mechuber to is a treifa, because the limb that came out of the womb had a din of basar, basadas. But nonetheless, there was an act of shchita. And if there's an act of shchita, the shchita should be matir, the treifa. Ma metino betreifa sheshchitata mitaharata, in exactly the same way that we find that an animal that's treifa, you shech an animal that's treifa, the shchita is matiret. So too the shchita of the mother over here is mitaher the aver, because that aver is a trefa, but it's still part of the animal that's being nishcha. The shchita of the mother is a perfectly valid shchita for the child, even the part of the child that is a trefa. Why is it different than any other shchita? Because it's Basar Basada Treifa. It went out of the womb. It was Yotze Chutz Mechitzasa. It's by definition Treifa. That's the whole point of it.
Inside he cut the limbs? After we shechted?
Outside. What do you mean after we shechted? Case over here is he did not cut the limb until after we shechted. So at the time that he checked, Taina's Rebbe Meir, Taina the Chachomim, what is the difference between the shchita of an animal which is treif? It's a very unusual situation. The shchita of an animal which is treif, and the shchita of the mother whose shchita is chal on the child, where the hand is treif. Welcome home. We are very happy to see you. How was the chazonis?
Thank you.
Now let me bring you up to date what we're holding. All right, we have a fascinating halacha. The halacha is that when have you been able to keep up at all?
Not
no.
Really.
All right. So the halacha is that when a behemoth is about to give birth and the fetus sticks out a limb from the uterus, then that limb, not the rest of the animal, but that limb alone is a trefa. Isn't that a strange idea? How could that be? Because the Torah says, "Ubasar basadeh trefa." Mm-hmm. Basar basadeh means something that is outside of the normal limits, where it's usually meant to be, is a trefa. So over here, it's meant to be in utero. It's not the moment any part of it is not in utero. It's the same thing like Bas of Kurdish, it was Yotzi from the Azarah. The Azarah is where it belongs. Take it out of the Azarah, it becomes a trefa. Here, you take it out of the uterus, it becomes a trefa. unusual halacha. Now the question is, does the shechita of the mother, which would normally be matir the uber in achila, does the shechita of the mother help to make the eber a non-nevela? Let's say the mother had been a treifa, and you shechted the treifa. So that wouldn't be matamis in nevela, because the treifa shechita is not matamah. So over here, you have the shechita of the mother and a limb which is treifa. So why doesn't the shechita of the limb of the mother help for the limb that's a treifa? At least that it shouldn't be matamit kenevela. So time of the chachamim to Rabbi Meir claims that the limb is matamit like a nevela. They seem to be absolutely right. Omarla and Rabbi Meir, who's holding now on that on the base, here over here, that's on the base, on the base. Really, way to look at it here. And Amarlan Rabbi Meir on the third line of the Mishnah, Lo im tiara shchita trefa ota davar shegufa teteheratev davar sheino gufa. Doesn't make sense your argument, because if the shchita of a trefa is mitaher the trefa per se, that's because it is part of the very body that is being mitaher as a trefa. But over here, does that mean it should be mitaher the aver, which is not part of the animal itself, which is treifa? Now this seems to be an exceedingly weak argument, because after all along we're learning that the shechita tzaim is a perfectly valid shechita for the ubar. So what do you mean davar she'eino gufa? The Gemara is going to expand on this argument of Rabbi Meir. On the surface, it doesn't make any sense. Continues the Mishnah, uminayin l'treifa sheshechitata metaharata. By the way, why do we always take for granted that a shechita of a treifa is mitayer midei nevela? I mean, actually, mitzad asvara, we should have said the opposite. We should have said, look, behemat mea asura b'achila. And it certainly doesn't help shecht it, huh? Av treifa asura b'achila. So just like a behemat mea, ein shechitata metaharata, if a behemat mea dies, it's not going to help that it died through shechita. It's exactly the same as if it died through any other cause, and it's still going to be an avela. The shechita is basically meaningless when it comes to the behemah tameya. If that's the case, although we did find an interesting case where shechita is not meaningless to behemah tameya, legabe, whether it's Abram and Achai, if it's Nefachet, or legabe and Akum, and so on. Okay, but in terms of being metaher, no such thing as being metaher to ba'at nevelot by shechting a cat. Shech the cat, you basically kill the cat, and the cat is now an avela. So what are you talking? So to a treifa, which is usher ba'achila, if I come along now and I shek the treifa, it should remain. It's a nevela. It's just a tummy animal, so to speak, that we're shechted. So we should say also, ein shechitata metaharata. So lo titaharena shechita. To which the Mishnah explains, no, there's an important difference. Lo imamet bivemat me'ash lo haitala sha'ata kosher. You cannot compare the two. A behemoth tmei, after all, had no time at which it had on it a possibility of being kosher l'achila that the shechita would have been mitayer to eat. To omar b'treifa sha'ita la sha'ata kosher, mashenken a treifa, before it became a treifa, there was a time at which it was omedetli shachetet to be mutayer to b'achila. Therefore, when you add the din of treifa, you don't take off from it the possibility of a shechita. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah, that's absurd. Forget that argument, please. What are you going to do with a congenital treifa? So then, according to you, a treifa min abeten would be the equivalent of a cat. If you shech the treifa min abeten, it should be metame ben avela. Whoever heard of such a thing? We always say that treifa, shechuta, doesn't matter whether it's congenital or whether it was caused later. It's certainly not metame ben avela, so that can't be the argument. What then is the argument to be machalik between a behemat mea and a behemat treifa? Like this. Lo yimamit bivehemat mea shekein ein bimina shechita. The concept of shechita was never mechudash in terms of this particular species, and therefore to shecht it is a meaningless act. Tomar b'treifa sheyesh b'mina shechita. Masha'enken, when it comes to a treifa, the din of shechita is set on this species. Now, the fact that the Torah gave me a new iser called isur treifa, who's to say that has any impact on the shechita at all? The shechita is a regular shechita.
Now I have a problem. Can I eat it? No, you're not allowed to eat it because there's another issur on it. Suppose somebody made a neder that I'm not allowed to eat meat. Because then Shmita won't be matur because he's not able to eat the meat. It's a different issur. Same thing over here. The treifa is like something external that continues to impact the individual with an issur achila, but it doesn't impact the Shmita. At least that's the simple way of looking at it. We know that that's not quite true, don't we? Because we know that treifa does impact the Shmita. How do we know that? From all the questions that we had before about whether you can be mitzarek one siman to the other siman, when one siman is only coming with time of the nevela, obviously the shkita of a treifa is different in kind than a shkita that's not by treifa. So then let's not overly simplify. We'll see later on in our sugya.
A living
and what was the case?
Isn't there a story about the Rambam, when people thought Rambam was a fake?
Oh, these funny stories.
He said that he ate
Yeah, that's fine. Ben Bekua is, of course, kosher. Here we're talking about, we'll see in the Gemara, we're talking about a Ben Shmona that is born normally. It wasn't, we hadn't checked it. We'll get to it, hold on. Says the, I don't know these stories. I mean, I know there's a lot, but I hear already what happens. Says the Gemara. Now, how can you say that the bus of the first part of the mission that you missed, Avner, was talking about the question of whether the Aver that was the Trefa now can be Metame, the rest of the meat, which was kosher after Ashecht of the mother? So there was a machlokas whether it has a din. Rabbi Meir says the buzzer is maga nevela. The Chachamim says the buzzer is maga treifa shvuta, which we'll see what that is in the Gemara. But everybody seems to agree that it was in contact. In other words, you have over here a limb, which is partially treif. Well, how is it partially treif? Because part of it stuck out of the uterus at the time of Shkita, or according to most Shkitas, even not at the time of Shkita, we brought it back in. That was earlier, we had a machlok with Shulim Yochanan and Rav on that issue. The question is, where is it in contact to be with Kabel Tumah? Only in a place where it actually forms one limb. Problem is that place is not visible. And that's called Beit HaSitarim. Anything which is Beseter does not transfer Tumah. So how did the tumah in the Aver, whether it's tumah tevelot or whether it's tumah refashkuta, how the heck did the tumah in the Aver come to affect the other part of the Aver, which is basa? Amai tumah beit astarim hi, but tumah beit astarim lo metamya. Shall we say that this is all going according to Rabbi Meir Lashitato, who has a similar situation in a case in which you have a piece of beged, which is shlosha al shlosha. Now, let's just keep in mind, there are two shiurim for beged. Three tefachim, and the tefach is lashon zachar, so therefore we refer to the shlosha al shlosha. So three tefachim by three tefachim is makabel tumat midras. Tumat midras is where a zov sits on it, or steps on it. And over there, it's makabel tumat to become an av hatumah. But shalosh al shalosh, which is a measurement of nekevav etzpaot, shalosh al shalosh is only mekabo tuma as a beged, not royal midras, and therefore it could become mekabo tuma b'maga, but then it only becomes a rishon tuma. It can't be an ava tuma. So now what happens in a case, we have shlosha al shlosha, shenechalak, you tear a piece of material, which is three tefachim by three tefachim, and is tamei midras. Now you tear it into two. Now just like any kli that you break, the tumah leaves it at the time that it's broken. So it's no longer tamei midras. Avo tamei maga midras. Ooh. However, the pieces that are left are considered to be in touch with each other, so to speak. And therefore, it's mekabel tumah from that which was tamei midras before, as if it touched the midras. So it's no longer an ava tumah, but it will still be a rishon tumah. Now, so said Rabbi Meir. Tainus to him, it's anyam Rabbi Yossi, and the bride of Chiyaz midras nagadve. What are you talking about? Where did it ever touch a mikras? What, you mean the fact that it touched itself as it was pulling apart? But that's too much beta starin. Elara, if what you want to talk about is a case in which it's tame, you could have a case where the Zav was not wearing sandals. I'd say that normally he would be wearing sandals, which would be pshutei kliyeitz. Pshutei kliyeitz would not be metame. Okay. But, so the tumas midras has nothing to do with whether they came into direct contact with his skin. If he's wearing pshutei kliyeitz sandals, his skin never touched this material. The material, therefore, was only mekabel tumas midras. The moment I was mevatel it, no tumas midras. I tore it into two. But suppose at the time that the Zav stepped on it, he wasn't wearing sandals. He stepped on it barefoot. So at that moment, there's two different types of tuma that was yore to this thing. On the one hand, it's midras, and if I cut it into two, it will no longer be tuma midras. But on the other hand, it's also maga. It came into contact with the skin of the Zav. The skin of the Zav is matame, but it only makes it into a rishon tuma, not an ava tuma. So even though now I cancel its midras by tearing it into two, it retains its tuma, because even 3x3 has both. Retains tumat magan. You can even contract tumat magan in the first place. So says Reb Yossi, look, I don't know what you're talking about. Magan midras. There ain't no magan midras because it's beit hasdarim. But if at the same time there was makabel midras, it was makabel tumat magan, fine. You're right that it would retain tumat magan. That's the only case that you could have such a thing. But I don't know why would you call it magan midras. That doesn't make any sense. So there you can say, v'chidezu midras nagaze. At the time that he was Doris, that it was Tomei Maga, then it becomes Maga Zav. Now, you see from here that Rabbi Meir holds that it's considered to be a Maga, even though it's touching only the point of where it was connected. So the same thing over here, the Aver is connected to the rest of the limb, even though that's hidden, he doesn't consider it to be hidden. Says the Gemara, hold on a second over here. You're making a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, which doesn't exist. The question wasn't whether it was tumat beit hasdarim. It was a completely different issue involved over here. Lav itmar ala, didn't Ula explain that whole braita in which Rabbi Yossi was arguing with Rabbi Meir was only where you had a case where it was literally three tefachim by three tefachim. Now you start to tear it, right? So it's nechalak. So over there, Rabbi Yossi says, I don't know what you're talking about. As soon as you started to tear it, did you have a baguette of 3x3 tefachim? No. It was torn. So where's it going to come into contact? Only at the place that you're tearing it. But the place that you're tearing it, it's no longer 3x3 tefachim. However, Rabbi Yossi would have agreed, let's say a big coat, a blanket. The Zav stepped on the blanket. Now you cut off a little piece from the blanket. Rabbi Yossi would agree with Batami Maga, even if the Zav had never come in contact with the blanket. Because he no longer has the objection that at the time that it's coming into contact is as the material is opening. So as the material is opening, there are places in which it touches. Okay? Then it's too small. But if it came from a large blanket, there's still a large blanket that's Tamei Midras. So basically, everybody agrees in the case where it would come from a blanket, even according to Rabbi Meir, that you do have a sibur, and that's considered to be, we don't consider that to be a problem of beit hasdarim, because at the time that I'm pulling it apart, I come into contact with the little pieces of it. That's makabel tuma. So in our Mishnah, he might agree. Remember, look what it says in the Mishnah. It says, if achaka chatcha, shachatet imo, on the fourth line of the Mishnah, the achaka chatcha, and then you cut the aver. Ah, you cut the aver. So that's cutting the material off of the blanket. And we said, you cut the material off the blanket, as you're pulling it apart, it's open, and then there's a little bit of touching right at the edge where I can see it. I can see it touching. So as I pull it apart, there's a maga. So here too, there's a maga. As I pull it apart, there's nothing to do with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. There's nothing to do with the machlokas. Even Rabbi Yossi agrees that as you pull it apart, there's maga.
Does tumat midras include tumat maga?
No. Definitely not. In other words, if the Zav was wearing non-tuma transmitting sandals, and he stepped on a blanket, the blanket would only be Tamei Midras and not Tamei Mana. And if I could cancel somehow the Tamei Midras, which I can do by making it less than 3x3 tefachim, I cancel tuma completely, I would have thought. The only problem is that it says here that nonetheless it's in touch with itself.
But if you step on it, you have a maga.
If he was not wearing any shoes that were able to be matzil from tuma, to be chaytis from tuma, you're right. Then he gave it two tuma simultaneously. That was what the Gemara answered.
You can't have two tumas at the same time.
Yes, definitely. There is a question whether you can have maga after midras. Does it have to come at the same time? Because there's a concept of sabala tuma. Something which has a higher level of tuma, in certain cases, can't be makabel above and beyond that, a lower level of tuma for maga. The Tosfos is mochiach over here that in this case, even if the maga comes subsequent. But certainly we could say it's talking about a case where he wasn't wearing sandals and the both tumas came at the same time. In which case, our Mishnah, is, since it insists that you cut the limb, so at the time that you cut the limb, even Rav Yossi is mother. So therefore, it's not, Manea, you're looking much too concentrated. So therefore, it must be that there was maga fila, Rav Yossi, at the time that you're cutting the limb off. Ravina says, actually, you don't even need that it should be cut. Because although beged lav lekaticha koy, when you have a blanket, it's not omei to be cut up. So there, in a chinami, it has to actually be cut, and as it's cut, it comes into contact. But in our Mishnah, you don't even need that it should be cut. Because the ubar lekaticha koy, we definitely intend to cut off this piece of the ubar, because that's the piece that you can't eat. So if that's the case, anything which is omeh to be cut off is considered to already be cut off, and therefore it's not tumat betastarim, and they touch each other without cutting. Now there's a tremendous shaila on Pesach that comes from this Gemara, believe it or not, which is, can you use burnt matzahs for lacha mishnah? You see the connection?
Nope.
If the edge of the matzah is burned,
yes.
The edge of the matzah is burned, and now you're going to cut off that piece of the matzah and not eat it. So if you say, Kola omeid lachtol kichatu v'tami, then the matzah is not a shlema. Everything we get that from here. So according to Rabina, if you say, Kola omeid lachtol kichatu v'tami, you got a problem with matzahs that have blackened edges.
But at the same time, those bagels, the buns that they make, they have two stuck together.
The chometz bun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's Pesach now. That's not my game.
So the shayla looks like you're going to eat the burnt part.
No, then it's roy. I mean, then it's not omeid lachtol. But it's but what if it's not omeid lachtol? So it should be that the matzah is not a shlema. There's a lot. First of all, the shayla is, do we pass it like Ravina? Bechlal, I mean, it's a mash, according to many, we don't pass it like Ravina, they're calling it like Ravina. Furthermore, they tiny, even if we do pass it like Ravina, it's only over here where I have no choice but to cut off the Aver. It's not a matter of taste, as Bobby was pointing out. It's a matter of here, because that part is also about here, this part is mutter about here, that part is Bethany, and so on. So maybe you'll be only when Allah is Machayev you to cut it off. But if you're not Allah is not Machayev to cut it off, you wouldn't say Kalayim et Lachtas Kefatov Tomi. But it's fascinating how something that you wouldn't think has any connection should end up being Nagel Allah. Anyway, Kima, of course it's Nagel not only Master, actually Nagel every Shabbos. If your wife burns her collars, you got a problem if you hold like Ravina.
Is it burnt challah or burnt matzah? Is that royal lecha mishnah?
That's the question. The challah according to Ravina, even if it's whole, it's not royal lecha mishnah. Because it's galoy milachta kechatos tomi. I mean, this is real lumpus. Let me tell you, I mean, the pashtus is that there's no connection at all between the two. The concept of lech and mishnah has to do with the appearance and the shleimus of the thing, not whether somehow, technically speaking, it's considered to be a chatzos and so on. But anyway, believe it or not, the Akronim spend a lot of ink discussing it. So now, according to what Ravina is saying, is that you don't even have to cut off the piece in order for it to transfer tuma, because it's not considered to be beit hasdarim, since it is in any event going to be cut off. It's the equivalent of having been opened right now, and even though it's touching not in a way as it. Now, that has to do with an interesting question. Listen to this question. This mom is fascinating. Suppose you have a kli which has a handle that's longer than you like. And then you're going to cut off the handle. Can you be tovel that kli now? And if you're tovel that kli, up to what point are you tovel the kli? Before you cut it. Up to the point where you're going to cut it? Because kalami lachtov kechasufadami? Or you have to be tovel the whole kli. But wait a minute, but even if you be tovel the whole kli, it would be a chatzitza, because the part that you're going to cut off is now in the way. So you see, you get into all kinds of difficulties. So ask the Gemara, it would appear that Ravina, who says that a kala omid lachtok is kechatuk tami, would be going dafka like Rabbi Meir. So come on, Rabbi Meir, it's not. If you have handles that are too long, and you have every intent of cutting them down to size, you only have to be tovel up until the place where you're going to cut it, and not any further. Weird. So what do you do about the chatzitza that's in the place where now you put in the water? You have this long handle, and now you say, I only have to go halfway up because I'm going to cut it, but then I didn't get the edge that I was going to cut.
If it ain't there, don't
see that. The edge is there. It's covered with the piece that I'm going to cut. So Tosva says that it's got to be talking about a chain handle.
So there's not, the water gets in anyway.
So the water gets in anyway. But almost all of the other shitas assume, and Rebbeisha actually has a shayla halacha lemaisa on a non-chain handle in such a case, and he says that not like those. Some of the other rishonim, Mr. Mashman, you don't need that; it should be chained, which means that we have to be machalik between the makbid alav in chatzitza and the makbid alav for other purposes. Because what are we saying? We're saying the handle is too large. So you're makbid on the existence of the handle, you intend to cut it off. Now normally, something that is there that you're makbid a lot of is chotzek. That's the definition of chatzitza. If it's even on miyuto, it goes out to rubo, but if you're makbid, it's a chatzitza. So over here, lachar, by definition, you're makbid because your intent is to cut it off. So they're machalik between the hakpada, that's nageya chatzitza. The pshat hakpada is, I'm makbid that it should be here. As long as the handle's here, I'm not makbid that it should be here over where it is. I don't care that the handle is blocking this place, because that's not my level of akpada. My level of akpada is purely that there's too much handle here. But as long as it is here, I certainly don't say, oy vey, this extra piece of handle is covering over that piece of handle. What do I care if it's covering over that piece of handle or not? It's absolutely not nageya. I may didn't even like it this way, because at least it doesn't look all raw and cut in a way which isn't finished. So this level of hakpada is not a chatzitza. Since it's miyuta, and it's miyuta v'enu makbid, it's not chatzitza. You don't have to come on to Tosfos a strange answer that's talking about a handle that's made out of chains, which is certainly not the pashtus of the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, achi atbil et kulo. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, as long as it's here, you have to cut it, you have to be careful the whole thing. Says the Gemara, afilu teima rabbana, not necessarily. Maybe Ravina said, kolo omed v'ktotzki katsutstami, or kechatuftami rather, is even going according to Ravina. Because there's a difference between chiburei ochlin. Chiburei ochlin, where something is being held together as a food. There it's kibban de mifrithi, dami. It's as if it's already crumbled off. Unegi bahadavi, and they're touching each other. Masha ain't a real handle is certainly not crumbled until you cut it. And over there, Ravina admits that there's a difference in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Now, getting back to the application of our Mishnah, we have a little bit of a problem. Because Bishleima, the way Ula was explaining it, what did Ula say? Ula said that if it comes from a large blanket, then as you cut it, there's no problem, because there's always a little bit of touching at the cutting edge. Right? So as you can see, it's open, and you can also see the material in touch with each other as it's being pulled apart. So that would explain why the Mishnah says that you cut the Aver. Because if you hadn't cut it, it wouldn't have been metame. But according to Ravina, who says you don't even need for it to be cut because it's considered to be kemifras tami, why did the Mishnah bother saying you cut it? It could have just said, if an uber has a piece which is trefa, then the uber is tame as a whole, even though I didn't cut off that aver. So asks the Gemara, Bishle melu'ula ha'inediktani chatcha. I now understand why the Mishnah said chatcha, because that's the only way that it transfers the tuna. But according to Ravina, you don't even need chatcha. So my chatcha, why does it say chatcha? Because I did a ton of reisha chatcha. Since it had to say in the reisha that first you were chotech and then you shechted, that there the basar obviously is tahar. Because before shechita, it's certainly not going to be matami. So therefore, here too, Tananami Seifa Chatcha, even though it wasn't important. And according to Ravina, it would be exactly the same halacha, whether I was Chotech, the Eber that had stuck out, or I was not Chotech, the Eber that had stuck out. Vachachamim Omrim. Maga Trefa Shchuta. It's not an Avela. It's a Trefa that was Shakta. Trefa Shchuta. There's no Tumah for Trefa Shchuta. Trefa Shchuta Mimetamia. In Sittigur, indeed, there is a Drabbanan Tumah. As Abu Ad Shmuel pointed out, the Omer Abu Ad Shmuel, Trefa Shishachata Mitama B'Mugdashim. When it comes to Kodesh, the Shrit of a Trefa is Betame Midrabon. Now let's get to that strange argument that Rabbi Meir gives, Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachon. Ma Matsinu B'Trefa Shishchitata Metaharata Av Shchitat Behemat Etaher Et Ha'ubar. So just like Et Ha'Eber, it's like, so just like if the mother was a trefa and we had checked to the mother, it would have been metayer the mother from the vela. So too, when we check the mother, it should be metayer the aver of the uber, which is a trefa from the vela. This is what the Rabbanan times to Rabbi Meir. Why do you say that it's metamic in a vela? I don't understand. Tanya. Now in the Brisa, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir says something that doesn't make sense. Rabbi Meir says, well, there's no comparison. One thing is gufa, one thing is not gufa, and the shechita of something which is not from its own body is not going to help to be metayeret, which, as we said, on the surface doesn't make sense, because we know that the shechita of the mother certainly does affect the ubar. So why should it not affect now this aver? So in the Brisa, it expands on that argument. Tanya, Amar lahem Rabbi Meir, how in the world do you think that Aver became Tor from the Vela? Shchitat imo. That's what you're saying. You're saying the mother shchitas mater it. Im came tatirenu ba'achila, then why isn't it mutter to eat? Amru lo, at which point they answer something which is completely illegible. Well, harbe matel tal sheino gufa, yoter mi gufa. Well, after all, the shechita actually helps more something that is not part of its body than it does its own body, which is a complete non sequitur. The Gemara is going to add, something is missing over here. I mean, we're missing a piece of conversation, obviously. Why do you say that shechita can help on something that is not its body even more than that which is its body? Because we know the Mishnah. It says, chotech min ubar shebemeyeha. If, let's say, you cut off in the uterus a piece of the ubar and left it in the uterus, then the shechit of the mother would have been metayer and would have been ma'asher b'achila. Mashenken, if you cut off, let's say, a spleen or a kidney and leave it in the mother and then you shech the mother, then the spleen and the kidney will not be mutter. So you see that the shechit of a mother on an uber is more liable to be matir than the shechit of its own self. Which, of course, is not a response to Rabbi Meir's Taina, which is, it should be Mutter Ba'achila. So asks the Gemara, my Gemara, huh? What the heck is that supposed to mean? Oh, my Rav of Armilov Kedi. Rav, or some say it was just somebody, or Rashi says that Kedi is the name of a person. Chisuri Makarka, obviously it's missing a piece of the discussion over here. And what it should have said is like this. Amar Lahem Rabbi Meir. If you're telling me that the Shkitata Ein works for the Aver that had been removed from the mother, in Kain Tatirenu Ba'achila, why isn't it kosher to eat? Omrulo, so they said to Rabbi Meir, what kind of question is that? Every Trefa is that way. Trefatochia, you have a Shkita of a Trefa that's Matayr Bidei Vela, but it is not Matayr Ba'achila. So what kind of proof is that? That's standard operational procedure. Amar la'em, so he told her, now come on. Lo im tiarat shkita trefa ota. There it's a lot different. If the shkita of a trefa is matir, the trefa itself, that's because davar shehi gufa, there's a din of shkita trefa. Kitahera taheva davar shehi no gufa. Does that mean that the shkita of a trefa will now be mitaher something which is not part of its own body? Omrulo, why not? Harbe matzah dashay no gufa yoter mi gufa. It's more likely to be mitaher the uber than it is to be mitaher itself. So the fact that a shkita trefa is not mitaher its own body, what are you going to say? Is mitaher its own body and therefore should not be mitaher the uber the uber? On the contrary, if I cut off an uber and uber and left it inside, the shkita would have been matir bachila. If I would have cut off a piece of the animal left inside, the shkita would not have been matir bachila. So what kind of argument is that? It makes more sense to be matzil asheino gufo, yoter mi bigufa. Sharei shaninu we say on the Mishnah, chotech min hubash b'meya, mutar bachila, minat cholo minaklayot, asur bachila. Now let's just consider what's really happening behind the scenes in this discussion. What Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim seem to be arguing about is the nature of the heter of the Shkita Sa'im on the child, correct? Mm-hmm. Rabbi Meir seems to be making a brilliant point. If the way that the Shkita of an Aim helps for an Ubar is by basically being the equivalent of the Shkita Ubar, then explain to me how it is that a dead Ubar is kosher to eat.
What?
A dead Ubar is kosher to eat. We said even if the Uber was made, it was kosher. Some Bema Babema or Kol Babema. So you're certainly not trying to tell me that you're shechting something that's dead. No possible thing is something that's dead. Well, I'll ask you another question. If the way that it works is the shechita of the mother works for the child, so how could the Gemara say then you can eat the chalev of the Ben Bukun? What do you mean? It's a regular animal that was shechted. So it has chalev, the chalev is also.
Okay.
Doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Right?
Different.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't change its status. All you're telling me is the shechita of the mother helped for the child. No, good, so the shechita of the mother helped for the child. So now you have a live animal that's kosher. Fine. Therefore, its chalev should be butcher. That's nonsense. That's totally crazy. Therefore, it's clear that there's an element of the shechita of the mother that is not coming to act like a normal shechita. It's some type of gzeres hakotzer from Babahima that the Torah is saying as long as something was found inside of a kosher animal that was shechted, it's kosher to eat. And it gets its own new halacha of being an extension of a kosher animal. Tainus Rabbi Meir, you have to make up your mind. If you hold that the shechita of this case, where the animal extended a limb outside of the uterus, is still part of the shechita of the mother, then you can't call it a trefa either. Because even if it was dead, it would be mutter to eat. So why the heck if it's a trefa to not mutter to eat? If the animal was dead, it would be mutter to eat inside the mother. So make up your mind. If you want to apply the shechita of the mother to the limb that was extended, why isn't it mutter to eat? Where did you ever find that it's an act of shechita, but that it maintains the same dinim of the shechita as if the thing itself were shechted? You're ready to entertain that it's mutter to eat its chela. You'd say the pharisee that it's mutter to eat if it's dead. So why, if it became a trefa because of baser basar trefa, So now it's going to be usher to eat. What's worse than if it's dead? Say the chachamim, but I don't understand. I mean, every animal that I shecht, which is a trefa, is not an avail. It's not in the time of an avail. Says Rabbi Meir, of course. That's because you shechted it. That's the davarship of gufa. What does that have to do with this? You never shechted the child. The only one thing you want to do is you want to apply this new halacha called shechitas ha'em on an Uber. Shechitas ha'em on an Uber doesn't have these gradations. Either it's considered to be matzer bakila, or it's not matzer bakila. I don't know where you get such a deal from. That it could act as a shechitas trefa, that it comes out to be a brilliant question. Is there still, even though clearly this works with new gedorim, but it still is defined as an act of shechita of the mother? It's just that this act of shechita of a mother has a new halacha to turn what's inside of it into baser. But what isn't inside of it can't be turned into baser because it's baser basada. Or is it in fact a completely new halacha?
Once again, the uber is dead.
If the uber is dead, but it hadn't been extended outside of the mother, you can eat it.
Including the chaylev that's in it.
That's the Gemara had the shayla before. That the chaylev is not considered to be part of the mother's chaylev. It's the chaylev of a piece of meat.
Which
now this shayla, ben shmona chai, that we'll see is a different issue. Where an animal is born before it's roy to be nishkat on its own. So it's still premature. That's already a different issue where I didn't have the shechita of the mother to be matayre. Okay? But in this case, I have the mother shechita. That's the question. Is that an actual shechita or is it a new idea? And this is what the Chachamim is saying. It still should retain its hilcha shechita. Ayotaina, that the hilcha shechita don't apply in a case where it's not, it's good. On the contrary, what about a piece of an uber that's lying in the mother? The piece of the uber is mutabachnima. So the piece of the uber is outside of the mother. So it could be mater, at least from trefa.
Is this in the blood, you can eat the
well, it's not blood. Worse than the dame vorin.
Doesn't mean
malicha
and all that.
Malicha would still
be like basa. Like basa. Be like any other basa.
Liver would be liver, it would be.
That's a din and din. There's no special din in livers. It's just a din and dam. It happens to be that a liver is in Yotzi Mide Doma. There's no special halacha of a liver.
You couldn't cook the liver of the.
Be like any other liver. Not because it is a liver, but because it takes out the dam. And Tanya Namihofi says the Gemara, this explanation that you thought up yourself. Seems to be catchy in this, and you better watch out, you have to better get a little difficult. Tanya Nami Aki, you thought up yourself this explanation, but there's a bracha that says the Farish has the missing words that you put in yourself. Tanya Nami Aki. Omar Lehem Rabbi Meir, the Chimita Rola Ever Zemide Nevela. Amru Lo, what do you mean? Shkitati Mo. Ah, says Rabbi Meir, Imkein Tatiru Bakila. Omerlo, why? What do you mean? There's often we find trefa tofia. You have a shkita that it's mitaher bidenu veva, but it's not mater bakila. Omar lahem, excuse me. Im tiara shkita trefa ota. Oh, and here he throws in an unfortunate extra word that's going to lead to more trouble. Ve'et ha'ever hamidudalba. If you have an aver hanging loose on an animal, and you went ahead and you shef that animal, it will be mitaher. The Abraham Dalba, and that's, we're going to be getting into that, and it will make it now that it should not be Metame Tumas Nevelot, and that's because it's Tabasha Gufa, it's because it's own body. Titaherata Ubar She'eno Gufa, to which they respond, Rabbi Meir Omulo, Harbein Matzelata She'eno Gufa, even more than your term Gufa. Shari Shanino Kotek Mino Ubar Shebemeer. Mutar minach bakila. Whereas if he shechted after cutting out a piece of tchol or klayot, asur bakila. Omar Shimon Lakish ki machloket bubarim kach machloket bevarim. You should know the same machloket that we have in our Mishnah about whether shechita helps for the aver of an ubar. The machloket is exactly the same about its own Evarim that are hanging loose. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, machloket be'ever de'ubar Abu Be'eva de Be'imah, when it comes to the Eva of the Be'imah itself that is being shechted, and this Eva is no longer firmly connected to the body, it's hanging loose, the Re'akor Shechita Osam Nipul. Everybody agrees that the moment of Shechita is the moment that that Eva basically has fallen off of the animal to which it's attached, technically speaking, and now that Eva is Betameh. Which of course makes no sense from what we just read. Because Rabbi Meir was saying it was Matar Abram Mitzvah, which we're going to ask on it. Omer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, my time, but the Rabbi Yochanan, leave the Rabbanan. What's Rabbi Yochanan's logic to say that the Rabbanan would say that Shvita, in this case, by the Eber Shebehima, Shvita, that there's a machlokas by only Eber Be'uber, not by Eber Behima? The difference is that the Rabbanan would say, because when it comes to the Eber of an Uber, over there it had, remember Rabbi Yochanan Shita earlier. Rabbi Yochanan Shita earlier is that if an Uber sticks out its leg, if it brings the leg in before Shita, the leg now becomes Mutter for Shita. So therefore, that he argues with Ra, but that's his Shita. Therefore, Tainan Rabbi Yochanan, Lefi my Shita, it's always more reasonable to be Matayer, the Aver of an Uber, since even after it stuck it out, it could have brought it back in again, and then it would have been Mutter. So then at least it has a Isle Takanta Bechazara. It has the theoretical Takana bringing it back in. Mashenka, in the case of the Aver, there's no way to reconnect the Aver once the Aver is Medudal. Baha, let Le Takanta Bechazara. Therefore, I say that everybody agrees when it comes to the Aver. The Eber is not now mukshar or mituhar through the treva. And of course, the Gemara immediately asks from the piece that we just said of Rabbi Meir, Meisvei. Amar lahem Rabbi Meir, lo im tiarash chita treva otav et ha-Eber ha-medudalba. What's that mean? Et ha-Eber ha-medudalba. Davar she-gufa tetaheret ha-ubar. Davar she-ino gufa. Now, wait a minute. That business about Eber ha-medudalba, that only works out according to Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Reb Shimon ben Lakish said that the Eva Medudalba is still a machlokas. Rabbi Meir holds it's not Mitzahir. Rabbi, the Rabbanan holds it is Mitzahir. See, even though over here Rabbi Meir is saying, see, the Eva Medudalba is Tahar. Okay. He means L'shitatchem. I personally hold the Shita is not Mitzahir anything. But you were coming to argue on me. Shvita helps for the Eva Medudalba. But that's only because it's a Dover Shabagufa. What are you going to say? The same thing by an Uber? But, so he could be saying with Ibrahim, in other words, Lididi, Lashitati, Rabbi Meir, Loshnai Vedu Ubar, Loshnai Vedu Beima, Ki Hadadi Nino, they're both the same, and Shvita doesn't help. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, nobody holds. He said everybody is Moda, that Avraham Medudalba, Shchitalsa Nipu, and that the Avra is definitely not going to be Tohar. How the heck did he understand that conversation? Not Rabbi Meir holds it, and not Rabbi Meir can say to the Rabbanan, I know you hold it, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, even the Rabbanan are Moda, that the Avra wouldn't be Tohar. So clearly Rabbi Yochanan is wrong. So Rabbi Yochanan Kasha says, Gemara, you're right. We had it all wrong. Eli'i itmar, achi itmar. Obviously, if the what was stated was a machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan was in the other direction, that Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said ki machloket bubarim kach machloket beivarim, and Rabbi Yochanan said just the opposite, that machloket be'eva de ubar, but by an eva be'ema everybody holds ein shchita osa nipu. And therefore, when Rabbi Meir was arguing, he was arguing even the Fishitato. And he was saying, now wait a minute, I agree when it comes to an Abraham and Dodalba. I agree to you that indeed the Shkita helps it and is Betire it, but that's only because it's part of itself. Masha'inkin, the Eva, the Ubar, which is not part of itself, it will not be Mitzahir. Okay, so now it works out well. Matter of fact, it works out even better according to Rabbi Yochanan, because you don't have to say Lididi. You could say even Lididi, it would still be Tar in the case of Abraham Mitzvah Talbah. Okay, gentlemen, that leaves us with just a little piece of Gemara for tomorrow, and therefore, just hang it. And therefore, if we meet at, say, 8 tomorrow, can we do that? We meet at 8 tomorrow, we have a chance to finish, we have a chance to have a nice little siyum. Now, what are we going to do about the siyum?
Do we need to meet at 8 to have time to do it all?
Why, is it so terrible to meet at 8?
There's not a lot there, but okay.
Do them before what you want to
do.
Do the dot first. Do the dot first. At 8, I thought. And then we can do the scene. If you want to, we can meet at 8:15 and do the scene at 8:30 and still be able to get home at the 8:45 to eat. Is that all right? You want to do that? Okay, 8 is good, so let us meet tomorrow at 8, yeah? Oh yes, Moe speak him for the fund of Reb Shlomo Kaplan. When anybody's interested, this is your opportunity.
8 o'clock to the docks.
And 8 o'clock tomorrow. Well, followed by a siyum on Ta'anit, and I guess Rabbanea wants to bring all the food himself.
Is that what's happening, Barnea?
No, you don't want to bring all the food.
Howard's already
bringing it.
All right, can we have some volunteers? You got any food in your place? Any comments?
For the
field. No comment?
I got some cookies that I can bring.
All right. What about some booze? Okay. Booze and cookies. What else?
Can't get better than that, can you?
Sabajat, do you have any hidden comments in your house? Any comments in your house that you can bring? We're doing a siyum tomorrow. We'd like to eat up your comments. Here, we're going to eat it right outside. Alright. Alright, anybody who's got some delicious comments, please bring it in. Hey. Thank you.